You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. Hope you're having a great day, and welcome to UTalk. We highlight stories of individuals across Canada and the diversity that can be found here. I'm your host, Ryan Funk. Art is an integral part of culture and community. It tells the stories of our past, our struggles, and our triumphs. Today we talk with two artists, one focusing on music, the other on painting. We'll also hear a piece from the musician later in the program. What is music? What is it about sound waves played in a specific order, pitch, and tempo that causes an emotional reaction in a person? And what is it that drives someone to pursue it as a career? Marco Castillo is a Brazilian-Canadian musician and songwriter based here in Winnipeg. Entranced by music since he was a child, Marco not only has a passion for creating and performing, but teaching as well.
My father is a musician. He run a group called Trio Iraquitã, which recorded with Nat King Cole. He traveled all over the world. He's in his 80s right now, living in an island, like not in a dream, but you know, he's okay. He's healthy, which is good. And I heard a lot of music since I'm a little kid, from rehearsals and recordings and everything. So I was involved with the music at a very early age. And I started working as a professional musician, you know, around 16, 17. I ended up getting into university later on my 20s. I graduated, I got a bachelor in arts in music from the University Estácio de Sá in Brazil, in Rio de Janeiro. I had great teachers there. I learned a lot. But the really way to learn is on the road, right? Like doing things. So I play with diverse bands. I travel mostly in Brazil, like different states, and a lot of traveling. Some things outside of Brazil, not too many. But, yeah, so that's pretty much my background. And, you know, playing music, going to the beach, bodyboarding, play volleyball, and surviving in the hell of Janeiro. Yeah, it's funny. I talk this way. It's not a bad way. I mean, like, I love my city. Rio de Janeiro is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I really love there. It's just hard, like, and it's getting harder and harder, like the last years. I can't believe what's going on in there right now, in Brazil in general, right? But I feel very lucky and privileged to be here in Canada. I'm a Canadian citizen now for some years, a proudly Canadian citizen, and I don't take for granted being here, honestly. I sometimes tell stories from Rio, and people, they just don't believe they're true. Like, I remember people asking me about this movie, City of God. You know, like, hey, Marco, is really like that? Just like, wow, that was in the 70s. The movie kind of shows the picture of the 70s. Like, it just multiplied this. Just like, it's way worse now. We create a monster, and they actually elected a monster for the presidents. You know, I know our talk here is not going to the politics, but I have no problem saying that. You know, they did a big mistake in the elections. It's a long story. I mean, like, this goes over so many issues, and I don't want to go there. Yeah. It's not the purpose of the interview. But
if people want to find things out, yeah, they can just just Google Brazil.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So is that kind of like part of the reason why you wanted to move to Canada? Just kind of seeing those issues slowly arising, or was there a different reason?
Well, exactly. It's part of the reason, right? Like, I was there, like, having my life. My mother moved to Canada in 2000 with my sister. But I have an uncle from Guatemala that moved back in the 80s, so I have already some family here. I lived in Guatemala for a few years, and then they moved in the 80s, and my cousins grew up here, basically. And so when my mother divorced from my dad, he was living in Guatemala. He was just like doing, kind of a bridge, Guatemala, Brazil. And then ended up that he, moved to Canada with my sister. So we were in contact and then like talking and everything. So they were always talking about Canada and everything. So we, start build that dream coming. And then one day I just woke up, I went to the government website and start digging in the possibilities. And then I found that I was eligible because I had my bachelor in music. So I applied as a skilled worker. And then I told my wife, we should move to Canada. And she was a little bit, in the beginning, she was like, how is that? And then, I showed her like, how I qualify and everything. So we started doing our move, getting papers together. It was a long process. It was like, since the decision till like the very, coming here was like 2 years.
Yeah, I've heard that from other people, that the process can be, quite involved in moving
yeah,
over.
Yeah, well, I still remember I sent 1 kilogram of papers, papers, only papers. Like, they want to know everything. I told them everything, every single place I live, like a lot of all sort of certificates. You have to prove that you're not a bad guy, stuff like that. And so it was a long process. But we made our way, and then we are here for 15 years so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I feel like, wow. I don't regret a hair. I mean, like, I'm so happy here.
Yeah, well, that's great. Is there something that you miss most about moving away from Brazil and Rio?
Well, of course, I can't say. I mean, like, there's no perfect place, right? But one funny thing about this is, first years here, I always like listen to people say, "Oh, we're going to the beach," and just like, beach, where's that? I'm like, we're in the middle of the continent. I mean, like, for me, the synonym of beach was like a shore, right? Like open shore, the Atlantic or the Pacific. But I went to the dictionary and say, yeah, everything, every time you have a lot of amount of water and sand, you can consider beach. Okay, so that's why they consider the lakes. To me, still lakes. But of course, I miss, the beaches in Brazil. Like, it's just, Rio is gorgeous. We have the biggest urban forest in Rio de Janeiro, Floresta da Tijuca, which is the one that surround the Redeemer Christ, this big state statue in there, and so many beautiful places. So of course I miss the nature, friends, of course, family. My dad's still living in Brazil. I have an older daughter that also lived there. They came a couple of years ago to visit. We had a wedding in the family in Kelowna, BC. So they came over. We flew there to Kelowna and rent a car. It was wonderful. So I miss, of course, family. But that's it. I mean, like, family, friends, and like the environment, of course. But have to. You can't have it all, right? So we have to. Sometimes we have to choose, right?
Yeah, you got to choose what is most important to you in that time.
Exactly. But I had that great time when I was, because I came on my 40s already, so I had my good times in Rio. So kind of, I'm okay. I mean, like, so I'm okay not going to the beach for months, even years.
Yeah, kind of more slowing down, just kind of like enjoying that kind of second half of life.
Exactly. That's pretty much, yeah.
So you mentioned that, you've been involved in music for basically all of your life, kind of pursuing it as a career, as a teen, just participating. So what kind of inspired you to follow that? Is it mostly just kind of like following in your father's path? Or is there kind of like something else that kind of lit that spark in your soul?
Yeah, well, absolutely not. I mean, of course, I have a great inspiration through my dad because, he's a musician. He's an accomplished musician and super talented, wonderful composer, wonderful human being. But it's way beyond that. I mean, music is something that, it took me years to realize how powerful music is. And basically, I start realizing that I have such infinite memories of music. I have full recordings in my head, like records that my dad used to put, to play, to speed on the on the to spin on the recording, and like, you know, by living, like growing up growing up in Brazil, like I, as I said, I moved to Guatemala for some years, and I came back to Brazil after an earthquake in 76. So we went back to Brazil. So I was on my 12 years old. So I started digging on the guitar when I was 11. So I wasn't living with my dad at the time. I was with my mom and my sister in Guatemala. So I started digging on the guitar. And then, so when I moved back, I started, you know, like to go like to shows and everything. And this, there is one particular, musician that is I feel like it's so much inspiring. His name is Hermeto Pascoal. I played a honored show for him 3-4 years ago at the Park Theater, and he has a very interesting interaction and way to express about the music. And he used to say that everybody is a potential musician, and the music is everywhere. So he has, since back in the 70s, along his recordings, he has some kind of experimental music, which he used to make music over speeches of people, or some people, you know, just like sounds that comes through, and he just play over, like figuring out the melody and chords, and he's an amazing musician. So I start like seeing music on that perspective. Like I'm a very sensitive person. Being a musician is kind of one of the skills that you need. Like I start learning music and playing by ear. So like just later on that I start getting into theory. But and I'm a music educator as well. So I always tell my students, you know, to listen, because we can really learn a lot just by listening. You know, if you listen carefully, you can discover like the whole thing in music. Okay, of course, it's not that simple. I mean, like what I'm trying to say is like if you even among musicians, they used to say, don't play. If you don't hear, don't play. You know, that's pretty much. So we have to hear, you know, when you are able to hear, because it's a different thing. Like the listening thing, it's a totally different thing of just hearing like randomly, like we are hearing, you know, we're not deaf, but like. But when you start listening carefully and perceiving intervals and rhythm, right, and voice, and wherever, when you're talking, da-da-da-da, you know, there's speech, there's rhythm. So that inspired me. Like, music is everywhere. It's like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, kind it's of like just, the flow, the energy of it.
Exactly, everything. Like, when you talk, people has, you know, in their voice, they have timbre, they have pitch, they have a rhythm, and in the nature, you know, you can now is like more popular. You can see a lot of people making this in YouTube videos. I saw the other day Jacob Collier, this wonderful kid from England, but a lot of people are doing music out of sounds, you know. And but that I saw that like decades ago through Hermeto Pascoal. I believe I don't think he was the first, but of course the first that I was aware of it. So some people compare him with Frank Zappa, a kind of the approach of music that he. So Hermeto is a guy that who grew up in the north of Brazil in the nature. So he tells stories that he used to play flute for the birds, and he's almost blind. He's an albino guy, and he has like pretty much has like a very high. Level of I don't know, mistake, mistake. I don't know what he has. He's not blind, but he's almost blind, and he developed his ear, that he is a sense of listening way more. He was made very aware of his surrounding through the sound, so he became like this wonderful composer and genius of music. Another factor that I think, because I really like the science aspect of music, like how music affects our brain. I mean, like the sound is the responsible to building the connections in our brain. So that's why, you know, a lot of people even use music to memorize things. You know, like it's way easy when you use music because you have that. So those aspects really fascinate me, and that's how I get my inspiring to write music and everything.
Yeah, music is, it's so fascinating. Like, there's so many aspects of it that you don't even realize in like themes, elements, like when you're looking at, you know, writing for like a show or a movie, like leitmotifs and different elements. It's just so interesting, you know, what it can all encompass.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, scientifically speaking, the brain do mathematic calculus to understand intervals. You know, when you hear a third interval or a fifth or whatever interval, so all these intrinsic aspect of music, the brain is processing mathematically, is going rational, you know, and but we are not aware of that. I mean, like, but that's how, you know, we understand the music. Like, it's fascinating. It's incredible.
Yeah, and that's why it can have such like a visceral emotional reaction in us.
Exactly. The music literally changed the matter, right? Like, build the neurons. I was watching the other day some videos about they having this levitation of there's a little like vocabulary, just like sometimes my brain
shut down no
to
worries.
Portuguese. Like, I have the word in Portuguese and Spanish, but in English. A little amount of water, mm-hmm. What do you call it? A drop, okay, a drop. And it's suspended by an acoustic speaker, and they're applying different
decibels or
yeah, decibels, and they also messing with the pitch. So it's forming different force. So the water is moving. It's like they have those experiments even with sand over a surface, you know. So we apply mm-hmm. certain frequencies, and then it's like start making patterns, you know, like a geometric perfect patterns. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful. So yeah, it's.
Yeah, I mean, music that powerful? Could. Yeah, it should be possibly defined as like a force of nature, just kind of like time or gravity.
Well, absolutely, yes. Like, absolutely, yeah. That's the mystery about music, how they affect us in our brain, in our bodies. Like, because, you know, we are built over music, technically, right? Like, if you think, like, scientifically, you know, like, all the nature evolution, you know, it has the vibration involved, you know, like patterns and everything. So it's interesting.
Yeah, just another part of life. So we've talked a little bit about the, you know, the mechanics and like the feeling about it. When it comes to like kind of genres of music, what do you enjoy most playing or most listening to?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Ryan. I like a lot of instrumental music. That's what was my first when I started playing. I was just start playing guitar. I never sing too much. I was very shy to sing, but my father is a singer. He's a full. I won't say a full musician because it's not fair to people that are instrumentalists saying they're not musicians. But I'm saying he's a complete artist, that he sings and plays guitar. And I start singing at some point in my life, and then I start enjoying so much. But it took me years really to get. You know, that old thing that listen your voice, oh, that's weird. You know, when you listen your voice for the first time on the recording, it's just like, that's very weird. But I started that process very early. I was like 12, 13 years old. I did some recording, not singing, but just like announcing. Because I used to record in cassettes, you know, some performance and rehearsals, stuff like that. And then later on, I start singing. But I really like the fusion. I still enjoy very much the fusion music that was produced in the 70s and 80s. That was my like one of the things that I heard a lot and inspired me in music, like you know, Chick Corea, Return to Forever, you know, Herbie Hancock, all those guys, Pastorius, A Weather Report. So I really like instrumental music, but I start enjoying singing as well. So I'm kind of on the middle ground. So I love to sing. I love to perform, but I really enjoy to play the guitar. Only play, you know. So in the genre, I will say, of course, I love all the Brazilian music, which is very complex. I'm actually presenting a workshop next week. Oh, actually this week, Thursday, and the week after through the Conservatory of Music. talking about the roots of Brazilian music, how, you know, all the influences we have and everything. So I love the Brazilian music. Of course, I'm passionate by Brazilian music. But I like the fusion jazz. I like the jazz, like not too much the traditional jazz. I play, I enjoy, but it's not like think that I'm crazy for it. I love rock and roll. That's another thing that people usually, I mean, it's like talking in general. Like, I love rock and roll. Like, the first album I bought was a Deep Purple, Made in Japan. You know, I still remember my excitement, like, getting that album. But at the same time, I was listening to Jeff Beck, Blow by Blow, and you know, and all the musicians that play with Chick Corea in the Return to Forever. So that means Stanley Clarke, Aldi Meola, Billy Cobham, Lenny White. And then I was listening all the things from England, like, you know, Yes and Genesis and all the, a lot of bands from Europe, you know, Gentle Giant, you name it. It's just like an enormous list of music that I used to hear in the 70s and 80s. So that's pretty much what I really enjoy to play. And that's why I got into Hermeto Pascoal, because Hermeto Pascoal, you know, he produced like such a wonderful intrinsic and complex music. But I like the simplicity too. Again, like I like rock and roll. I enjoy to play E7 chord, you know, and play just the blues, you know. I really like that. So I'm very, very open for when it's music. Electronic music, because I like technology a lot. I actually just made a remix of one of my own songs, that kind of a, I did myself, like, so I was thinking, you know, I know DJs, they used to mess up with songs, and so I can't mess up with my own song. I'm about to release anytime. I don't know, I don't have any, it's ready, sorry, it's ready to go. I just, you know, I'll make some plans just to do a kind of, oh, I'm releasing this, just because it's a totally different thing that I used to do. But I think it will be interesting to see the reaction of people.
Oh, yeah. It's never bad to kind of mess around with the formula. Kind of like a chemist. You never know what's going to come out just right.
Exactly. Exactly. You got it. You got it just right. It's exactly this. You know, it's a chemical, right? Like, you just do different combinations of, you know, some... It's like a receipt. You know, like receipt, you're just like, okay, this is a little bit of this, little bit of that, and it's like, yeah.
it's a collaboration. Music is a collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. It's when you express yourself and you get, you know, other people expressing, that's how you build that connection, and then you go from there, you know, and then something will come from this thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So what are you listening to right now?
I'm always listening different things. I have been listening a lot of classic music. I mean, I always listening to classic music since I'm a little kid. But I'm enjoying way more now, like getting to pay more attention on composers and pieces of music. It's just unbelievable the amount of classic music, wonderful classic music. And at the end, classic music is the biggest inspiration for the popular music. I mean, like they are, as I said, I'm presenting this Brazilian music workshop in a few days, and I'm talking about exactly that, because the Brazilian music was originated by that mix of the European classic music that was there and the African influence and the music that the natives already had. So I have been listening a lot of classic music, but I'm still listening everything. I mean, like, I'm always digging, and I'm listening a lot of Brazilian music, of course. I'm always listening new things. There's wonderful things going on, like wonderful musicians, and so it's interesting. I mean, like, and now with the, you know, it's stuck at home, so you dig on YouTube and just like, whoa, it's like... That whole universe of new music coming out, it's unbelievable. So I'm listening a lot of classic music, but a little bit of everything. I got myself the other day listening, like, the old Deep Purple, the show, the Jam, California Jam in 74. And I loved, you know, like, it's just seeing, like, you know, Richard Blackmore and all those guys. Actually, the bass player, what's his name? Ian Hodge? Anyways, he make this backing vocals on Burn. Sky is a, and it's like a, you know we had no time, you shouldn't even try, you know you had no, man, he hits that A5 note, and it's from his lung, it's not like a falsetto or anything, and it was like, wow. So I love to see that, like, it, get, you know, give me bumps, you know, and because I think it's so visceral and so wonderful, you know, that moment of music, like the rock and roll was like, you know, those bands. So I'm always listening to everything. So I go back reviewing things that I like and then digging into new stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have Brazilian showcases in some of your presentations and performances, and you have this workshop that talks about Brazilian music. Why is it important to you to kind of share that part of your culture?
Well, first, because that's part of me, of what I am and what I love, right? That's my passion. That's how I was built, right? Like into the Brazilian music. So I think it's important for me to, like, you know, always like work towards like to get people to understand like the roots of Brazilian music and you know, and enjoy, because Brazilian music at the end is not that we are better than anyone, but technically speaking, is one of the biggest melt pot that you can ever imagine, because of the it's like a historic thing, it's a very complex thing, but just to give an example, we have all sort of music in Brazil. We have heavy metal bands, we have, and actually I have a student, like, that was long ago, he was talking about music all the time, and I was asking what his favorite band, he liked heavy metal, and was a Brazilian, for my surprise, was a Brazilian band. I forgot the name, they're from the south of Brazil, and they're like really big name, I mean, like, they did a lot of things. So Brazil has not only the roots, like the things that came from the African and European, but like all the pop music, you know, developed later on, and we have wonderful rock bands and blues bands, and so it's important for me, you know, because that's my flag, like that's my I'll say, so I'm not a religious guy, but I'll say that's my inner person, you know, the Brazilian music. So for me, it's important, you know, to always bring that flag and show people how wonderful it is. You know, I'm doing my share.
Well, of course, and you know, like, yeah, like you mentioned, it's a part of you, and you want to share that with others.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So walk me through a little bit about these workshops. What kind of inspired you to want to, you know, hold these? How do people find out more information? How do people get involved? And has teaching always been a passion of yours?
Yeah, exactly. Because I believe when you share your knowledge, I mean, like you're learning is a two ways learning process, right? So so when you share, I think you are learning. I mean, like, because, and it's wonderful to, you know, to have the opportunity to get people really involved in understanding, you know, what you're doing, and again, as I mentioned, like, Brazilian music is something that is being, it's fascinating all the world. Like when you see the bossa nova style and samba, now it's part of the jazz vocabulary in terms of rhythm. Like it's kind of like everybody plays, you know. So that started because in the 60s we have the bossa nova and everything. So to me, I think it's nice. I mean, I'm passionate about Brazilian music, and I want to share that, you know, and I because I can see people love it, you know, and I know the reasons. Is that I'm always trying to, you know, to get them like as most make things more understandable, right? Like, in, not only technically, but you know, the roots of that. And so I present workshops. I'm educator. I teach. I have a contract at Long and McQuaid, so So I teach there. I have private students. I do some online sessions as well. So I'm doing this workshop. I got invited by the Manitoba Conservatory of Music.
Oh, very cool.
To present. Yeah, so I thought it was very interesting to do that. And so we were doing this Thursday and the next Thursday. There's two sessions. And I love to do that. I mean, like, it's something I got myself. I got in this invitation months ago, and I start digging. I'm preparing a wonderful PowerPoint, you know, and it's like, and funny because I start digging more and more, and it's just like, whoa, like, you know, you have to stop. You have to put boundaries because you can't just, you know, it's you. It's funny. I on the beginning, I thought, oh, 90 minutes is a lot of time, and no, 90 minutes. So I can do like 10 90-minute sessions, you know, and it's going to be like the type of iceberg.
Yeah. When you're talking about something you're passionate about, you can just go on forever.
Yeah, exactly. No, and I love history as well, so, because it's all connected, right? So to understand Brazilian music, you have to understand, you know, all the process of the colonization, all what happened and how it happened. So there's many small things that people have no idea, but influence, you know, the music as it is right now.
Mm-hmm. And what would you consider are some of the most notable moments in your career?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, it's funny because I've seen new generations, people, they want to be an artist, right? Like they kind of, oh, it's their dream and they person. And so people are very like, there's this singer from Brazil, Anitta. She's a big, big star. And the style of music that she plays is not something, it's not that I don't like, but it's not something that I really like got into too much. I mean, like paying, I know what it is and I respect, but it's not something that is appealing for me, you know. It's a wonderful music though, but and then my daughter, you know, she was the one who got me. Oh, I love Anitta. Just like, and to me it was like kind of, oh, okay, I know she's the new Kelly Key. She was a kind of another singer, kind of the same style in Brazil. So to me it was but then I started digging, okay, let me find out who's this girl. And I ended up finding that she really made his way to become a big star, and she is right now, not only in Brazil. I think she moved to the States or something, and she's doing really great. She just released something new now, and I start. So though it's funny because I seen a lot of people, generations of people, planning to become you know. And now with the internet, everybody's a star. Like we have thousands of followers, and that's the people are looking for that. I never. So that's the thing. I never really. Was one, not that I was not wanting that, but it's not something that I planned. It's like, oh, I'm going to become a musician, you know. Oh, I'm going to be a star or something. I never have that kind of thought, you know. Like to me, it was just the music, just the pleasure of playing. Mm-hmm. But like since I moved here, so I recorded a few albums, and you know, I got the Western Canadian Music Award in World Music. On the trip to Brazil, and the latest Zabelê was also nominated. So I started seeing that people really enjoyed the music that I was doing. I was getting more and more confidence, and I ended up actually representing Brazil in Viña del Mar. I think this is, I can consider one of really notable moments, because I played for 20,000 people in an arena called Quinta Vergara, which is well known as the monster, because if the audience don't like you and boo you, you're done. So yeah, and it's funny because not many Brazilians have played there, you know. So mm-hmm. then all of a sudden I got myself there, you know, in this festival, one of the six finalists representing Brazil, playing one of my original songs. So that was you know, it's something, you know, and I really enjoyed that. But it's not something that I really was planning or dreaming. Of course, when I got, you know, the call, it's like, oh, you are one of the six fans. I was just, wow, that's wonderful. And I was excited, and I flew there and everything. But so this is, you know, one of the moments. But I had like such a wonderful memories on stage playing, you know. Doesn't necessarily be to 20,000 people, you know, like sometimes small shows, like the Park Theater show I played, the Hermeto Pascoal tribute was packed. All the shows that I play at the Park Theater was pretty much very wonderful feedback. So those, you know, every time I have myself on the stage, it's a notable moment for me, you know, and that's the most important thing. And I will do my best, you know, to present the best from me to the people. So, but of course, like this Viña del Mar thing was something very special, right? Yeah.
Fantastic. What should people be watching out for? Do you have any upcoming projects or albums on the way?
Well, I last year, before the pandemic, luckily, I had this wonderful show with the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra. And I still remember Neil Watson asked me, because I was their guest a couple of times already. And Neil came to me one day and said, "Hey, Marco, you know, the Winnipeg Jazz Orchestra are thinking to get you again in the show, you know, but if we bring a Brazilian musician, who you will bring?" Then immediately, you know, a name came in my head, like Kiko Freitas. Kiko Freitas is an amazing drummer. He plays with João Bosco, is a fantastic artist in Brazil that, you know, I actually recorded one João Bosco songs in my album Trip to Brazil. And Kiko is just the best drummer in Brazilian music right now. I mean, like, not diminishing any other. There's wonderful players in there, but he's a wonderful. He's an impeccable technique. And so I said, "Well, Kiko Freitas." And he said, "Well, do you know him?" I was like, "Well, we're Facebook friends." So, you know, we talk, and then we came out with the proposal, and he said, "Yeah." So we brought him here in 2020 February. To play those two shows, and it was wonderful because, you know, it was an experience that I believe, you know, for me was such a special moment also. Like, so I got him on the studio on the same occasion, so I recorded. I have 6-7 tracks that I recorded with him. But the thing is, like, we are in the middle of thinking how to release music work, because I'm digging into this system that is happening right now that I'm not happy. And I'm not the only one that is not happy. Even Paul McCartney is not happy with the share of the streaming. I mean, like Peter Frampton, I don't know, you know the story. He got a $1,500 check for 55 million of streaming of "Ooh, baby, I love you." Hey, so it's not a fair system at all. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, you know, so I have this material that I'm working. I have new songs, wonderful songs, all instrumental. But I'm working on that. I'm not in a rush, but I want to release this at some point. And again, I just finished this electronic version of one of my songs. So I have a lot of material. I'm working on that. And I'm going to release this at some point. I don't know when exactly, but I will. And so I just, you know, at this point, I just want people to keep, you know, digging into my YouTube channel, wherever, follow Instagram, just keep your eyes open. Cause you know, when I decide, I'm going to release this, and I'm going to release some new music, and not bragging, but it's going to be a fantastic music. Oh, now I'm bragging. Sorry.
Well, awesome. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. Yeah, you know, it's inspiration, and again, the point is not like, oh, being successful, like number one, but just like bring joy and bring, you know, what I am.
Yeah, that's, you know, yeah. Music for music's sake.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Before we talk with our next guest, let's take a moment to appreciate Pega Leve from Marco's album, Brazilian Season.
Tome cuidado quando sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir. Não vá se apaixonar à toa. Nem todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tome cuidado quando sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir. Não vá se apaixonar à toa. Em todo mundo leva tudo na boa. Assim. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. É tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. É tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. É tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. É tarde demais pra voltar atrás no amor. Tome cuidado quando sair por aí. Se a vida é boa pra curtir, não vá se apaixonar à toa. Nem todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tome cuidado quando sair por aí. É boa pra curtir. Não vá se apaixonar à toa. Todo mundo leva tudo na boa assim. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. E é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. E é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. E é tarde demais pra voltar atrás. Tudo não passou de ilusão. Você descobre. E é tarde demais pra voltar atrás no amor.
We have discussed music's impact on culture, but can paintings? Xavier Nkunda Muchepayi is a painter living here in Winnipeg. He shares his journey moving from the Democratic Republic of Congo, his inspirations, and some of his secrets of finding success as an artist.
I came into Canada in 2015 on December. Almost I will have 5 years in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I start art when I was 5 years old. I start as art like at home. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, I was working with my big brother. Mm-hmm. He's also an artist. He was doing drawing and things like that. Nice. And a musician too. So I start with him. Mm-hmm. So at a certain point, I began to be a little bit better than him. So mm-hmm. I wanted to learn more. So that's why I decided to do education, art, things like that.
Nice.
But first I did economy. I did economy because, you know, my dad is a doctor. So for him, he was thinking doing art is not good things, you know, it's not good things. You should do something just like him, like doctor.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
But for me, doing that kind of work wasn't for me. What wasn't mine. So it was a little bit difficult, a little bit like fighting with him. I did economy. I did my education in economy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was doing art. Yeah. So I was doing two things at the same time. I was doing economy, and other time I was doing my art and working with a different teacher in art. Mm-hmm. I was very, very good at that point. So from there, I chose to do that together, mm-hmm. work in art and economy. So when I finished with economy, I just gave him everything. Everything I said, so that was for you, that is not mine. Then I decide to do art. I decide to do art, and I start to work with a different gallery. I did many exhibitions. Mm-hmm. And after that, actually I'm here in Canada, in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
The first thing is I just started to learn. I started with learning how it works here, what can I do. And I start from there, and I begin to understand how it works. And I meet many, many wonderful artists,
mm-hmm.
very, very good artists here in Winnipeg. And I have that opportunity to learn also from them and from different master in art. From Germany and everything in the world by internet. And sometimes I meet them in a different kind of workshop.
Nice.
That is a little bit my story.
In terms of art, it's great that, you know, you found that passion. You're like, I'm going to go walk down this road. And like you were talking, I mean, breaking into the art scene is difficult, even if you were like born here in Canada. How did you find kind of breaking into there, like getting... your art exposed and seen by the public?
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's not easy. Even in my country, art everywhere is not easy. And most of the time, people say artists, they have difficulty to make money and things like that. That is very, very bad things for an artist. So for me, the first things which helped me a lot is having positive mentality, you know, thinking positively. And when I came here, the first that really helped me is learning. I try to learn how Canadian artists learn work, what they like, you know, what they like. And from there, I begin to build, to work a lot and to be a little bit different, because I came from Africa. I know how art worked there. And the way to mix African art and the Canadian art outside of my country, that brings my art a little bit higher, because it's something different, you know, something different. And from there, learning, having something a little bit different than Canadian artists, and having open-minded, you know. Open-minded is like accept everybody, accept advice for everybody, you know. From there, I begin to work and so to put my art in social media. Yeah. This work a lot, that really helped me to have that way, and people can notice my work. And
It sounds like you really just have to, you know, it's just a grind. You just got to go through it. Just go through the paces and get it done.
Yeah, go through it, because, you know, I decided to do art. I did the economy, but my passion was art. So if I decide to do that, I should try to do my best, because that is my choice. So I should do it. That's why I did it.
Yeah. You're mentioning that, you know, you're taking African style art and you're bringing it and mixing it in with Canadian style. I was going to ask, what is the market like for culturally influenced art for, you know, budding or new artists?
Market, how to sell art, things like that?
Yeah, like what is the market? Is there a lot of demand for that in the art scene? Are people wanting to buy, you know, these culturally influenced art pieces?
Yeah, you know, art is marketing, you know. Art is the marketing. You don't want to wait for gallery and anybody to help you to sell your art. You should do it first by yourself. So the good things, the most important things is to build your style, and also have your social media, things like that will help you. And actually, because I'm not just doing like art for gallery and something else. I'm doing art for everybody. I can do portrait and things like that. So from there, I have that opportunity to sell by myself and also to work with gallery. That I can say it really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. So what are the benefits of having diversity in the art scene?
Oh, yeah. The benefit, the first benefit is learning something new. Because art is a progressive, you know, progressive. It's just like a children. So it will begin with milk and eating something, things like that. It's the same things with art. When we have like a diversity, we have opportunity to learn something new. And we have that opportunity to bring something new in your arts. I think diversity is something very, 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 very important. And actually in Winnipeg, that diversity is, I couldn't imagine in Winnipeg we can have that kind of diversity. Even in my country, we don't have kind of African like here in Winnipeg. In Winnipeg, you can meet African artists from Italia, from Sudan, from Japan, from Egypt. Everywhere in the world, we can meet them here. In my country, it's very difficult to meet someone from like Ethiopia, for example, from Tunisia. It's difficult. So that diversity I found here in Winnipeg, for me, it kind of, I don't know, I can say that in English. In French, it's a richesse, in a richesse culturelle. Richesse culturelle said, it's very helpful. I can just say it.
No worries at all. Yeah. So, as an artist, what is your inspiration? Do you have influences from your culture and life journey when you're making your pieces?
Inspiration, yes. Because from my culture, I can say the color, you know, some color we use in my country that have big impact in my work, actually. And also my inspiration, you know, you can find inspiration everywhere. Even when we are doing this video, okay, I already have inspiration, you know, just the way you are, that kind of inspire me because I'm an artist. So I can say we can find inspiration everywhere. And also the world is has a lot of diversity of things. We can find inspiration everywhere. But also, I think the most important is I'm Christian. So God is also my inspiration. Why? Because if when we see everything in the world, especially for me, I like picture, portrait, and things like that. The way the skin is made, the color of the skin is made, you can't find an artist can do that. So God is the first inspiration for me, you know. And from there, we can see we have like a woman, for example. Woman, for example, is also one of the inspiration because art is not just drawing and everything. Is bring something in the community, you know. Bring some change in the community. And women have a big place in the community that also the beauty and everything. So, yeah, that is my experience.
Nice. So can art exist without culture, or is culture kind of the integral muse to the art process?
No, culture is important. For that is me. That's me. Culture is very important because as an artist, I said that we live in the community. We live with different cultures. So from there, we can make a change. We can bring ideas. So culture have a very, very important place in art for me. Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to share? I see that we're quickly coming up, so I don't want to hold you up too much. Is there anything else that you would like to share in regards to your process, your work, or even just the art scene in general here in Winnipeg?
In Winnipeg, first of all, I can say Winnipeg has a lot of good artists here. And they are very, very open-minded, Francophone artists and Anglophone artists. So I'm just happy to be here, and I hope the future will be better because, you know, actually everything is going good. And I think I can say just that. And one more thing I can add is how I work as an artist, the process of my work. I think sometimes I like to work in two ways. When I start like doing a painting, for example, I like to start it quietly. I don't need anything can like no yeah distraction. No, I don't need it. Noises and things like that. That is when I start to build, to put idea together for art I'm doing. I don't need any noises around me. But when I finish with my idea and everything, when I finish with that, I need music. I like to work with music. You know, some artists work with different things. But for me, it's a music. I like to work with music because, you know, for my artwork, music have a big impact in my artwork. Because doing art is not just drawing. Your art should speak. Your art should bring emotion. Your art should be different. That's why my work is very different. Because if I do your portrait today, it will be very different with a picture. Why? Because you will have emotion when you will see that picture I made for you. It's not just because of I know how to draw. It's because of you can bring some emotion in art. So that is the very, very important things for an artist. If you want to go higher and you want people to notice you, that is my secret. So I give my secret.
Tune in to 101.5 FM every Tuesday afternoon at 1 to hear more stories and music from fantastic people across Canada. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk, and have yourself a good one.